of the day of the fourth. Sunday after Pentecost, we'll be here again in St. Mary's. In the epistle for this fourth Sunday after Pentecost, it's taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that made it subject in hope. Because the creature also itself shall be delivered from the servitude of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain, even till now. And not only it, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the gospel. Taking that according to St. Luke, chapter 5. At that time when the multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And going up into one of the ships, the one that was Simon's, he desired them to draw back a little from the land. And sitting, he taught the multitudes out of the ship. Now when he had ceased to speak, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, we have labored all the night, and have taken nothing. But at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a very great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners that were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they were almost sinking. Which when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was wholly astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also were James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men." And having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, they followed him. That's why the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. We have today a consideration of our Lord, how he works when he first meets St. Peter and the apostles, and how the history of the church shall be. St. Augustine tells us that we have the two great catches of fish. The first one, which happens today in the Gospel, on this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. And then the other one that happens 15 days after the resurrection. 15 days after the resurrection, there are not 12 apostles. There are only 5 that are in the boat. Here in the very beginning, there are many followers of Christ, but Peter's being chosen to be an apostle, along with James and John, his brothers. And at the beginning, there is St. Peter collects many fish at the word of the Lord, so many that his net breaks. And then in the other boat, the one of James and John comes over, and they fill both the boats with so many fish that it's sinking. The both boats are sinking from the excessive weight. The second time it catches fish, at the 15 days after the resurrection, there are a lot of fish. But the boat is not in danger of sinking. In fact, he's able to count the fish, and there are exactly 153 fish that are caught. There are thousands of fish caught this first time, enough to sink both boats, enough to break the net of Peter. One thing we can note is that very often today, people say, "By the fruits you shall know them." Just hearing it recently, the last couple of weeks. You know, Bishop, you know, Father, by the fruits you shall know them. Where are the fruits? Because when God comes, there's going to be a great catch of fish. So how do you know the fruits? There are going to be many people that come to church. There are going to be many people that come to God. So there are great fruits. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He met St. Peter, and Peter had not heard a single sermon, except for that one that he preached from his boat. He had spent about 10 minutes with Peter outside of that sermon. And he said, "Peter, I know you just met me." Or Simon, his name was not yet Peter. "Simon, you just met me. But you didn't hear me preach a sermon to the people. Now I've stopped talking. Now it's time I want you to do something. Duke in altum," it says in Latin. "Lead down into the deep. Throw the net into the deep. Throw it deep in the water for a catch of fish." And then Simon says something. "I and my brothers, my friends, we have labored all night and have caught nothing. But at thy word, I'll go ahead and lower the net." And there's a great catch of fish, thousands of fish, so much that two boats are ready to sink. Come forward 3.5 years. St. Peter, his name has been changed from Simon to Peter. And he's been with Christ for 3.5 years. He's performed miracles. He's watched Christ work. He now believes in the resurrection that happened 15 days before. And the Lord says, "Let down your net." And out comes 153 fish. Do the math. Peter lost his touch. Last time he obeyed Christ, he let down his net, and up came thousands of fish, so much so that the net broke. And up came thousands of fish, so much so that they needed two boats, and they were almost sinking. This time, he brings up 153 fish. St. Peter still doesn't understand what's happening. He remembers the thousands. He remembers the net breaking. He remembers the two boats. That's when he met Jesus Christ. But this is only 153 fish. St. John turns to Peter and says, "Pete, it's the Lord." And then Simon recognizes it is the Lord. Now, 3.5 years before, when he saw that it was the Lord, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And the Lord said, "Fear ye not, I will make you a fisher of men." And he followed him. Surely there were more fruits in this miracle of the fourth Sunday after Pentecost than there were in the miracle after the resurrection. And Simon Peter was certainly more humble, because when our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Let down your nets for a great catch," he was in astonishment and wonder that Christ could do such a miracle. And he was very humble. He said, "Depart from me." 3.5 years later, he catches 153 fish. Thousands less than he caught the last time. And even though it's a similar kind of miracle, the net doesn't break this time. He doesn't need a second boat this time. And even the boat he's in isn't full. And he doesn't recognize it as the Lord. Surely Peter is in a worse place. And he's certainly not as humble. Because when St. John tells him, "It's the Lord, Pete," he doesn't say, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And now he has evidence of his sin. When he said it the first time, he was a general sinner like all the rest of us. But now, he was not just a general sinner. He cursed and he swore that he did not know Christ. He denied him three times before men. He was no longer just a general sinner. He was a much worse sinner than he was 3.5 years before. But he grabbed his cloak and he jumped in the water and he swam to the Lord. So he certainly wasn't as humble. Didn't think much about his sins like he did 3.5 years before. Caught a lot less fish. And didn't our Lord say, "By the fruits you shall know them"? Whoever catches more fish, he's got the fruits. And this is a measurement of the world. It is not the measurement of God. St. Augustine says, "Look at the fruits. Do you want to catch many, many people? Don't join the army of Jesus Christ." Because here's a problem of the army of Christ. It's always the same. When you first meet him, you hear a beautiful sermon. When you first meet him, you see a great miracle. When you first meet him, you see a forgiveness of sins. And you say, "I want to follow him." And they come by the thousands to follow him. Not just on Good Friday and Palm Sunday, but before that. There were 5,000 men that said, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the King, thou art God, we want you to rule us." And they went to make him king. He came back the next morning, and every one of them left. So many of them left, that he turned to his 12 apostles and said, "Are you going to leave me also? If you were God, if you were the Messiah, you wouldn't lose these 5,000. If you were God and the Messiah, they wouldn't run away from you after they learned about you. Everybody loves you when they first meet you, but then they get to learn the way you really are." It's one of the problems when you meet people. On day one, they're great. Then you get to know them. And when you get to know them, you don't want to be around them anymore. It's called marriage. You really don't want to be around them. Jesus Christ is no different. Turns out he's just another man. When you meet him on the first day, he's wonderful. He's a miracle worker. He's a great preacher. He's a man of forgiveness. But then you stay with him. Then you follow him. And you start noticing, we had 10,000 people yesterday. We had 10,000 fish. The net broke. The fish are disappearing. If he was really a God, it would keep growing. And they forgot what was predicted about him when he was a little boy. "Blessed is he that is not scandalized in this child." And Simeon, when he was 12 years old, said, "This child shall be for the rise." That's the first thing. "And the fall of many." So many are going to rise because of this child. And so many are going to fall because of this child. They're not just going to rise because of him. They're going to fall because of him.
If you want great fruits, join the charismatic movement. Join the modern mega churches. They grow and grow. It's always that way in the beginning. So our Lord Jesus Christ met Simon. He sat in a boat. He preached a sermon. And they all believed in him. It's a pretty good sermon. Then he told Simon to let down the net for a catch of fish. And they caught so many. But after that, it was only 153. That's a lot for regular fishermen. But that's nothing for St. Peter. That's nothing for Christ. The fathers of the church tell us in these two miracles, it's always that way with Jesus Christ. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many join the army, but few arrive at the victory. 10,000, or rather 30,000, join the army of Gideon. He said, "Cowards, leave," and 20,000 left. The Bishop Sheen says, you can do the math. Those people who join the army of God, 2 out of 3 are cowards. And they left. 10,000 remained. Then Gideon said, God said, it's still too many. So they had to go drink water out of a lake, out of the river. Those that laid flat on their bellies were 9,700. Those that knelt down and poured the water to their mouth were 300. And God said to Gideon, send the 9,700 away. It's with these 300 that I will defeat the 60,000 enemies of God. I don't want 30,000 in the battle, I want 300. Now we see this throughout the entire history of salvation. It's not just a mystery of Palm Sunday when everyone loved Jesus Christ, and on Good Friday when they all denied him and only a few weepingly watched him die who still loved him. But the fact is, we don't count the fruits like the world. We want every soul to join the army of God, and every soul joins. But then they quit. That's the problem of the army of God. Because you get to know him. Turns out he's always dragging a cross around. Turns out he has a destination which is called Calvary. It turns out the more you're with him, you start realizing the world hates him. And if you're too close to him, like St. Peter was, even when you walk away from him, somebody's going to say, aren't you one of his disciples? You look like one of them. You got the accent of one of them. Are you sure you're not one of his disciples? So even when you walk away from him, there's like a stain. This is the case of Catholics, baptized, left the Catholic Church, don't believe in God anymore, say they hate religion. But an atheist walks by, who never was a Catholic. A Protestant walks by, who was never a Catholic. A Muslim walks by, and a Hindu walks by, and they say, you're different. No, I hate him just as much. Yeah, no, I totally agree. You think like me, you hate him like I do, but you smell like one of his disciples. You're not the same as everybody else, even though you say you are. It's like the nuns in the 1970s. They wanted to show they're the same as every other girl. So they threw off their habits, And they put on dresses, and they put on pants, and they put on clothes, and it was the wrong style. And they walk the streets in lay clothes, and they say, I don't know, man, that ain't right. It's not working. You're not a regular girl. Something different about you. And the priests threw off the cassocks. And the Catholics threw off their modest dress. And they walk the streets like everybody else, dressed like prostitutes. Like everybody else. But they're not the same. So in the beginning, there are so many that join the army of God. It's so popular. It's always that way. Now there are several reasons for this. God allowed Simon to catch many souls on the first day, that he might understand these souls aren't going to last. You're not going to see these fish on the last day, maybe a couple of them. But you might see my power, I'll bring them in. That's why he brought the people to praise him on Palm Sunday, because he wanted to prove to the history of the world, Jesus Christ is God. And if he wants to be praised by men, 5 days, 6 days before he dies, he is going to be praised by men. If he wants to receive the glory of a king and the glory of a prophet and the glory of a priest, he is going to receive it whenever he wants. The people were already ready to crucify him on Palm Sunday, but the Lord said, today is a day that I wish to be praised. He was praised that day. But the people did not deeply love him. And he showed, I'm the one in charge. Not men, not the devil. We're now entering a time of the church of the Saint Simon Peter once again. When the Blessed Virgin Mary has her victory, Russia is converted, there will be thousands and thousands and thousands all over the world. In fact, millions. And they will come to the church. And the Lord will say, Simon, let down your nets. And there will be conversions everywhere. But the net's going to break. The majority of those fish are going to escape back into the sea. And they won't make it to the shore of heaven. And they won't be cooked by Christ. Remember when they brought the 153 fish to shore, the Lord Jesus Christ took some of the fish and he cooked a meal. And he fed his disciples. And then he asked Simon, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That's what happened the second time. What happened the first time? It tells us at the end of the gospel today, after he made the 153, the thousands of fish, he performed the miracle. Our Lord said to Saint Peter, follow me. And they left everything. They left behind the fish they had captured. That's the great test. They left behind the fish they had captured. They left behind the boats. They left behind the nets. And they followed him. Throughout the next 3 years and a half years, they would have many great moments of popularity and they would have many struggles. But they wouldn't really capture fish until they embraced the cross of Christ, until he died, and until he came to the shore and said, let down the nets like I told you to do before, but this time there's going to be 153 fish. Exactly. And not one of them shall be lost. This time, the net shall not be broken. And here the saints tell us, whoever loves God unto the end, whoever remains faithful unto the end, not one shall be lost. And everyone is counted, and everyone is known by our Lord. Hence it was exactly 153 fish. The tens of thousands before, most of them escaped in the sea, but only 153 made it to salvation. What are the fruits? The fruits are not the numbers. The fruits are to persevere in the same faith when the world dumps it. To persevere on the same path when the world turns away. To keep the same following of Christ, the same virtues, the same dogmas, the same truth, the same spirit, while the world turns away and turns away and turns away and grows tired of the Spirit of Christ and grows tired of His ways. Right now, they say there's a resurgence going on in the church, in the conservative movement, because more and more people are going to the Latin Mass because of COVID. How many of them will be amongst 153 fish? Not very many. How many are really in the army of Christ? And look at the warning that is given. Because after St. Peter captured the 153 fish, the Lord said, "All right, you captured them. I'm not going to let you sell them. I'm not going to let you eat them. I'm not going to let you protect them. I'm not even going to let you count them. There's thousands and thousands of them. I'm telling you right now, leave them and follow me." And so they did. It's one of the great mistakes of the following of Christ. We love His gifts. We love His consolations. But we don't really love Him. And we're supposed to love Him and follow Him. And then we'll receive greater gifts. We'll receive greater consolations. We'll have a greater victory. How holy is a church? It has many people in it. How long do they last? When you follow God and you follow the truth, over time you will see people grow tired of it. It's not fun anymore. It's not exciting anymore. It's not wonderful anymore. And so they walk away. We do not grow tired of God if we love Him. So He made the miracle of the fish. He said, "Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. In order to do that, you have to follow me for the next 3.5 years. In order to do that, you have to experience the pain of the cross, the pain of watching me die. You have to recognize your own weakness, that when you think you're strong, you're going to discover you're going to deny me 3 times. You're going to have to experience many weaknesses, many trials. But you keep following me. And one day I will tell you, put out your nets into the deep again. And this time, the second time, you will capture souls that will become saints. You will capture souls that are going to go to heaven. The priest brings his holy water. He brings his absolution and his blessings. He brings his mass to thousands and thousands and thousands of souls. But only 153 will be in the net that he brings to heaven. Not all are going to be in that net. And over time, many will disappear. So much so that Christ says of his disciples, he says, "The servant is not greater than his master, and blessed is he that is not scandalized in me." been that way since Christianity began. It'll be that way until the ending of time. It must needs be that scandals come. Woe to him by whom the scandals come. That's the wicked scandals. But then there's the good scandals. Jesus Christ is going to be a cause of scandal because of his goodness. Judas is going to be a cause of scandal because of his wickedness. Peter is going to be a cause of scandal because of his weakness. So somehow the priesthood and the Catholic faith and scandal go hand in hand. Judas was scandalized in Christ when he said, "You must eat my flesh." And he walked away from him in his heart. Many left him that day, says St. John, never to follow him again. He'd gone too far. He was a scandal, just as it was prophesied when he was a child. And Judas was a scandal. And Caiaphas the priest was a scandal. And St. Peter was a scandal. Whether you're good or bad, you're going to be a scandal. A stumbling block. In come the 5,000 or tens of thousands of fish. The net breaks. Some escape right away. Others will go later. But it's going to take perseverance in following Christ. When we see others die and others fall on the battlefield, persevere in following the truth. Persevere in following Christ. Then comes the victory. So we want to ask the grace to follow our Lord Jesus Christ faithfully in the battle. In the battle of the faith. We want to follow him faithfully in the battle. And he'll make sure that there's a victory for us. And we capture 153 fish. And we stand on the shore. And he'll be the one to cook our meal. And he'll ask the question, "Did you really follow me? Are you really my disciple? Lovest thou me more than these?" Because we must love the others as well. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Who can continue to feed when the food has run out? Who can continue to love when there's no one to help us continue in that love? And St. Peter said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And therefore, the prayer of Christ takes effect. Simon, I have prayed for thee, that when thou be converted, strengthen the brethren." We're praying for that conversion right now for the Holy Father. And when he is converted, there shall be a strengthening of the brethren. And for the bishops and priests of the church, that when they are converted, there will be a strengthening of the brethren. And we won't judge whether there's 20,000 here and only 153 there. But we judge by the following of Christ, by persevering in the same faith, the same spirit, the same doctrine, while the world falls away. And as our Lord said, "He that perseveres unto the end, he shall be saved." We'll close that. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.